Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, May 18th, 2026. I am happy to be here today. It's been a really rainy, cold, even snowy May for not the majority of it, but a lot of it, which has been an absolute godsend, and so grateful for the water. But it really forced not planting anything outside, not getting gardens going, because we had, it froze a couple times. We had freezing temperatures in May a couple of times, including once last week. So, there's a saying here, it used to be, don't plant flowers till after Mother's Day. Well, it's don't plant flowers till after Memorial Day now, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And that goes year by year. Who knows? But I got a small start on my flower beds. And I love to talk about my flower beds because I like to see what happens. And it's such an opportunity for growth for me when I start working on my garden stuff, because it's just a crapshoot. I mean, it really, truly is. I never know what's going to happen. Something might have grown just great last year and won't even make an appearance this year. My wildflower bed that I planted the year before last and then added to last year is just thick and lush and absolutely gorgeous. It's going great guns. But again, we had little water, and with the watering restrictions too, the grass still isn't completely green. The lawn is still struggling, but those flowers, man, those wildflowers, they have a will to live and bloom and show off, because they really are really, really pretty. And I'm seeing flowers in there this year that I've never seen before. So that's really cool. But all my little starts, my little zinnia seeds that I started, I did 20 of them and 18 of them sprouted. So finally yesterday I got them out and in the ground and put some bunny repellent powder around them. So hopefully they're safe, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if they grow. Maybe that, who knows? This is my opportunity to practice just acceptance of whatever happens and get out of the way and not take what they do or not do personally. So it really is. I mean, it really is. Gardening for me inspires a growth period, and growth periods typically aren't fun, but I learn a lot from them and I'm getting better. So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to go buy flowers after I get my car and get those planted. So at least when I look out the window, I can see something in my beds, not just hoping that a seed pops up. So that'll be fun. Anyway, I'm sure you're tired of my garden stories and weather stories, but this show is live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you would like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com and click chat. You can click the YouTube link posted under my banner in the 12radio chat room, or you can just go to YouTube, www.youtube.com/@KellyW1850, and that's my page. And subscribe, and that way you can get there a lot quicker than all of that. I don't do readings on my show, but if you would like a reading or a healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm usually available later morning Pacific into the evening. If you don't see me or if I'm busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'll be notified immediately via text, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule. Sometimes it's not possible, but most of the time something can be negotiated. If it's not possible, it can always be negotiated. We do have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen. Typically that's Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and the 12th of each month, but also new moons, full moons, big things happening in the sky also. Are celebrated. I was trying to think of the right way to say it. Celebrated with reduced rates. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. While you're there, post what you're grateful on the gratitude board. And the gratitude board is a place where, you know, you just put what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience, whether it's something that you are working to demonstrate in your experience. Either way, we add our, the advisors at 12listen add our attention to your intention, which empowers it, which empowers it. It's agreement, and agreement's a powerful thing. So just do it. And you can post anonymously. So why not? Why not? Might as well get the support, because it is a great way for us to support you. And, you know, I talk about, I still have my Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session available. Just again, moving energy out of the way that could impede. This is a powerful, powerful season. You know, it's life. Life. There's just, it to me, on the physical plane, aside from the birth of a baby and children, just in nature, spring is the demonstration of life and how life is so powerful and so without end or opposite, as Joel would say. That, you know, things, unlikely things bloom, you know, come up in places where you wouldn't think a flower could grow there. You know, someplace that hasn't had a drop of water for ever, and here comes a flower. I mean, it's just beautiful. It's beautiful, and it's encouraging, and it's inspiring. And so this session, the time-based session, is just removing anything that's in the way. You know, things we carry, burdens, guilt, beliefs, you know, whatever it is that limit us, those can be moved because they are error. We are the individualization of source, period. Anything that impedes that has no power, but we believe it does. And we can only live what we believe. So this is a way to release limitations and just be available for new opportunities. That's the intention of that time-based session. The other thing that I don't talk about, but that I was kind of tapped on the shoulder to mention, you can also find email-based services on my bio page at 12listen.com. Email-based services are kind of cool. There's a whole variety of them that you can choose from. But they are recorded readings and healings. So I record it, I do my reading, I do my healing for you, and then I email it to you. And there are also recordings of my classes in that section too, in the email-based services section on my bio page. So, you know, my feng shui classes and others. But those are really cool because they're a recording. And if you can't talk to somebody, like I have a wonderful client who lives on the other side of the world. So being able to talk to each other, just talk when I'm online, isn't a possibility. So the email-based services are perfect. Anyway, just a reminder that we have those too, and I'm not the only one. The other advisors on 12listen do as well. I just want to thank you again right now for listening, however and whenever you do. There is programming on 12 Radio 24/7, and there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want for free. 12 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So I do invite you to take advantage of that. And right now, I want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show. And we're going to move into the teaching segment, which is a lot that I want to talk about, by listening to a song called Amor Part 2 by Akalia. We did Part 1 last week from the Amadas Estrellas CD and Sequoia Records. So enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. Thank you for joining me. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You're listening to Empowerment.
Mi amor. Mi amor. Memoir.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. So today, I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects, resistance. Because resistance is huge. It's a huge subject. It's a huge topic. And I think there are times, personally speaking, I think there are times when we just encounter a lot of resistance. And typically, hang on one sec. Sorry, I don't know what's up with my voice. We'll talk it out, though. As I talk, it'll stop. I apologize. Typically, we encounter resistance when we're moving ahead, and I'm going to go into that as I talk about it. But I think there are just times when, you know, nothing in particular is happening, but just kind of daily life, you know, daily life. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm getting up in the morning. I have my to-do list, and this is what I'm going to start with. And I'm going to give you a funny example of that. Sunday, As I said, I had all my little sprouts in their little cups, and I was gonna plant them Sunday morning. So I was gonna get up and do that, and that night my sprinkler system, I was gonna do it Sunday morning because my sprinkler system was gonna go off at about 1:30 in the morning. So the ground would have been great, and I needed to till it and just do some stuff before I planted them. Well, the sprinkler system didn't go off. So I'm going, okay, well, now I need to water the lawn, you know, the whole lawn, because it didn't go off. And I called Scott, my nephew, who has helped me with all that stuff, and he came over. And so it was kind of like, from that point, all those things I was so excited about to do on Sunday morning just started sort of dwindling away. And then we were outside just looking at different things, looking at the rose bushes. And then I see on my rose bushes, there's a whole bunch of gnat eggs on my, I couldn't figure out why they weren't blooming. But again, we've had all this rain and cold, weird weather. So I haven't paid attention to these things like I normally would, you know, like in a normal May when there isn't all the back and forth and strange weather. So it's like, oh, brother, you know, and then my stomach hurt. So then I go in and I Google and I find out, you know, you spray them with Dawn dishwashing liquid and that kills the eggs. And then you blast them with water and they fly off. Well, I blasted them with water yesterday. And really, I think a lot of them did. But I'll just do another dose of the Dawn dishwashing liquid in water. So, I mean, that's easy. That's easy. I have that on hand. I can do that. And also just want to trim them down. There's those little roses that just kind of take over. They're huge. The bushes just get out of control. So, you know, I'll take care of it. I just haven't gotten there yet. And then the other thing was, you know, planting my little babies out in the dirt, the little seedlings of the zinnias. I Googled, do bunnies like zinnia seedlings? And the answer was overwhelmingly, yes, they do. They'll wipe them out. So I got bunny repellent. Doesn't hurt them. They just don't like the smell. So they're not going to go over to it. So anyway, I got those all planted yesterday and I put the stuff around there. And I went through the yard yesterday morning and just sprinkled it in the yard and sprinkled it around the perimeter. It's called liquid fence is what it's called, I think. And so I did it around the perimeter of the yard and I thought, okay, we're good. And I looked I came in the house, I did something, and about 30 minutes later, I looked outside and there's a little gray bunny sitting in the middle of my lawn having breakfast. I just went. I just, you know, just took a breath. So it's kind of like resistance shows up in interesting ways. But I didn't see the two grown-up bunnies who have really done a number on my yard yesterday. But this morning, one of them was sitting in the middle of the yard. So I just have to figure out a better way to distribute. I don't think they've gone in the flower beds. I'm sure of that. But I need to figure out how to distribute that stuff. It was like a granular thing. Throughout the lawn. But anyway, I don't know. That little baby bunny, I thought maybe baby bunnies don't have a sense of smell. I don't know. But I walked right up to that baby and said, you need to go home. You need to leave. And I actually had to kind of chase him out of my yard, which I thought was strange. Maybe, you know, maybe he was a little dazed from the smell. I don't know. But anyway, it's just, you know, it's just things like that. You know, you're getting ready to go somewhere and the pants you want to wear, you didn't realize that need to be ironed. You know, it's just stuff like that, you know, stuff that kind of trips us up that we do a lot better if we just go, oh, well, I have other pants to wear, or, oh, well, you know, I can whip out the iron and iron these, or, it, you know, it's just, oh, well, is a great response to this kind of, this like kind of everyday resistance, if you want to call it that. But really and truly, resistance is a part of life. It just is. It's a part of life and it propels us to growth. if we use it. And that is both spiritually and humanly. As Abraham said, when you decide on what you want, you're bound to experience a lot of what you don't want. And that's what I mean by resistance. You know, it can put you through your paces like that. I mean, that's just silly stuff that I just go, okay, well, I'll do it tomorrow. You know, don't get bent out of shape. Don't let it whip you out of, you know, the present moment just because something didn't work out. Something else will show up to fill that moment. It will, because that moment is a living thing. So, you know, if it's sometimes big stuff can really, it really can put you through your paces. I mean, we've got there, but the thing is, there's a lot we can learn from it, and especially about ourselves. You know, that's all we're learning, isn't it? You know, we're learning about ourselves. We're learning about what we, how we can express and demonstrate more of our divinity, how life is much easier when we are not attached to things, you know, not attached to outcomes, when we just let people and things be who and what they are. Or to use one of Florence Scovel Shinn's sayings, this does not disturb me. This does not disturb me, and I can let it go. I talk about resistance a lot because I find it fascinating. And it's really, aside from the bunny in the yard stuff, it's really kind of been in my face for the past 3 weeks since my car was totaled. I've just been kind of in that place of not nailed down. You know, I didn't have my feet weren't planted for a while. And I'll explain what I mean by that. You know, I didn't rent a car because I didn't have any outside appointments that I couldn't cancel or just take a Lyft ride to. So it made no sense. And if I'd rented a car, the rules with my insurance company are the minute they, I think it's agree to the settlement amount, for my car, then 72 hours, you got to get rid of your rental. They won't pay it. That's them paying for the rental. And I wasn't going to pay for the rental, and just the hassle of going and getting one and waiting and all of that. No, thanks. It didn't make any sense for me to do that. And normally I don't drive every day. I work here at home, but with a car, you know, having a car, I could drive if I wanted to. So not having a car just added this, I don't know, it reminded me of COVID, you know, the COVID lockdown. You know, I remember someone asked me how I was doing with the lockdown. And I said, I'm self-employed. I've worked every day from home for the past 12 years, so I'm used to it. But the truth is, I still felt like a caged animal, because I was restricted. So it's an odd thing, but that feeling was exactly, you know, not having a car, not going someplace if I wanted to go. Even if, you know, I mean, it's hard to explain, but I think you get what I mean. You know, when you choose not to, it's one thing. When you can't, it's quite another. So that was a big energy I just had to look at, you know, and figure out, but or just look at, let me put it that way, look at, realize what it was, and then let it go, because I couldn't change it. But the other thing I know that added to it, to just that weird stuckness kind of feeling, was that I didn't have a project to work on. I'm good. If I have a project to work on, I'm good. And I just finished my big spring cleaning. And as I've said already, it was too early to do too much outside, and it rained and snowed and it was cold. So again, it was just this discomfort of restriction. And the other thing was, I couldn't look for a car until I knew what my settlement was. So. And the car I settled on had to be shipped in from another state. It should be arriving today. It should be at the local dealer today, or maybe it was there yesterday. But then it takes them a few days to do a quality check and do what they need to do before they make an call me and make an appointment to come see it and test drive it and take it. And I'm sure it's the one I'm going to take. I just feel certain about that. But again, it's like, okay, I'd like to do that, but no. So all in all, it's been a strange space to occupy. It really has. But what it did when I took a step back and looked at it and noticed how I was feeling and realized why I was feeling that way, it just directed me inward. Any discomfort, honestly, when I feel discomfort, when I feel out of control, when I feel that struggle, you know, that pushing, because I feel it in my body, you know, either in my gut or in my back, you know, like I can't explain it, but it's there. And I know it's resistance. I know it is. It's struggle. And I want nothing to do with that. Because, you know, what you push against is going to push back and expand. That is how energy works. So I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to live this. I don't know how to get the car sooner. I don't know. That helps me tremendously. Three magic words, I don't know, but that which lives me does. And I turn it over to that which lives me, that infinite God mind, for the perfect outcome. Because if I'm trying to, you know, if it's something that I can affect, you know, that I'm struggling with, I have to remember that I'm struggling with it from this human part of me, the human mind that wants to control, that wants to dictate how things go and gets bent out of shape if it can't. But I turn it over to the infinite and I just float. You know, I spent time floating in meditation, as Neville would put it, with that formless, faceless, figureless, infinite I. And that was such a healing. That was my safe space, you know, during when I would really feel sort of claustrophobic or restricted. That was my safe space because it shifted my space instantly. And not only that, but when I let go of that discomfort, then things showed up to do, you know? I mean, oh, I could do this or I could do that or something that I hadn't done. I worked on a painting, almost finished a painting that I'd put on hold when I started spring cleaning. And so it's almost done. It's just some finishing touches is all I need. And that felt so good because it was productive and creative and healing, really healing to do stuff like that. I've also been listening to my favorite teachers, and I went back and I've been listening to the Bhagavad Gita, the Ishwaran Audible book, the Bhagavad Gita, which is fantastic, and just stuff I hadn't listened to in a while, and really, really loving it, really being fed by that. And of course, not only listening to my favorite teachers, but sharing them with you also lifts me up. As well as working with my clients every day and writing. It's not like I sat in a chair and had in a room that had no furniture in it. the way I sound, like being so restricted. I worked every day, and that was great. But it's just so funny when something just kind of gets under your skin like that. And that was just an absolute perfect example of resistance. But coming back to, you know, I can't make anything move faster than it's moving. So I go to my mantra. I don't know, but that which lives me does. So I leave it to the infinite God mind and I just follow. That's the thing. When you leave it, when you give it away, when you stop resisting resistance, you're open for instruction, intuition, and you just follow. The only way to move through resistance is acceptance. And acceptance means just stop fighting what's tripping you up, stop trying to figure out why it's happening, and stop justifying why it shouldn't be happening. Resisting resistance compounds its effect on you. It does. It gives it a megaphone. Attention is life. Attention is love. Whether it's something we want or don't want, if it's got our attention, we're loving it into expansion. So, you know, that's why we don't, don't push. Whatever you push against pushes back. Just remember that. So stop pushing and it falls away of its own weight, as Florence would say. So now I want to talk about resistance. That was kind of day-to-day stuff, but how resistance is opportunity. And it's not just the benefit you get from accepting it, but you learn a lot if you choose to. Let me put it that way. You know, again, quoting Abraham, when you decide on what you want, you're bound to experience a lot of what you don't want. And that serves a purpose. So I want to talk about it in relation to demonstrating. And when we're in the process, of demonstrating, resistance is what happens when your desire for more and better meets, quote unquote, the way it's always been. We encounter resistance when we decide to make positive changes in our lives, when we start the manifestation process by deciding we want to be, do, or have something better, and then start taking our steps toward that intention. Resistance is what shows up and looks like the complete opposite of our intention, or looks like we're going backwards. Which we're not. We can't devolve. We're constantly evolving. And this is actually helping us in the long run. So here's an example of what I'm talking about. You decide you want to buy a new house. You start researching how to get your house listed, looking into neighborhoods to figure out where you want to live. And then you start to feel that you're living in your new home. You start to feel it. You start to occupy the space that you want to be in. And you love it. And you're grateful for it. And it feels good. And then resistance comes in and says, you can't afford a new house. It's going to be really hard to sell this one. This isn't a good market. You won't get enough money out of it. And on and on and on. And then maybe the water heater in your current house goes out, or your real estate agent says you need to repaint. And all these seeming obstacles seem to grow up right in front of your face, and you begin to question if you should really be looking for a new house, or if this is the universe saying no, you can't have a new house. If you give in and give up the idea of a new house, the pressure might be off, but that desire most likely won't go away. If you look the obstacles in the eye and know that they are your fears coming to call, and then do what you have to do, like in this case, you have to get a new water heater. Okay, I have to get a new water heater. Didn't anticipate it, not happy about it, but I have to get it. And I'm just going to do that neutrality. I have to repaint. Okay. We'll get that done. You know, if you look them in the eye, look at the obstacles, and just do what you have to do, they fall away because you haven't given them power through fearing them or fighting them or wanting them to be different. There is no power external to you. So during this time, or when you're facing resistance, is the perfect time to practice neutrality and detachment. You know, the affirmation, this does not disturb me. Affirm that and focus on your desired end result. Not just focus on it, but again, live from the feeling of being your desired end result. This takes willpower and it takes faith. Believe it or not, this really is an opportunity, because what's happening through the resistance is that the lack, fear, and limitation that are stored in your subconscious mind, the associative mind, all of your experiences are coming to the surface to be seen and released, to be seen for what they are: powerless, error, and released. And releasing limiting beliefs allows you to express more of your abundant, infinite self. And the thing is, it was the infinite self that started all of this off by giving you the desire for a new house. What a fantastic circle. What a fantastic circle. You know, we are here to expand. We are here to expand because we are just the vehicles of the infinite self. And it becomes more of itself in, through, and as us. And life and expansion and love keeps moving forward, keeps expanding. Life, period. Expansion. And that reminds me, my favorite Wallace Wattles quote is, "Increase is what all men and all women are seeking. It is the urge of the formless intelligence within them, seeking fuller expression. Original substance wants to live all that is possible in you and wants you to have all that you can or will use for the living of the most abundant life. We are given our desires for the purpose of expansion, and included in that expansion is meeting and overcoming resistance. Not only releasing limiting beliefs, but changing our self-concept, what we accept and agree to as ourselves. In order to manifest anything, we have to become it. In other words, we have to match its vibration in order to have it. We can only experience what we have the consciousness for. Through resistance comes the opportunity to release limitations, which expands our consciousness and expands our self-concept. The desire, whatever the desire is, exists in its entirety within us. It is, the kingdom of heaven is within us. All we're doing through this process is letting go of what's in the way of its demonstration. It's easy to think that the physical plane is more real than our divinity, because we've experienced obstacles, we've experienced fear before, but we've not experienced our desire. And this is when we grow our faith. Dr. Irvin Seal wrote, "These thoughts are from two sources. They are from the sense world around us, and they are from the universal, or God mind, or the spirit. This being thought, spirit being thought, not yet conscious. From this latter source come our inspirations, our desires, and urges toward the ideal life. From the environmental side come suggestions of limitation and opposition and weakness and sickness, and from the inspirational side comes hope, upreach, and outreach. Where these two kinds of thinking meet, there's usually conflict. And that is hell. It is God in us that makes us desire to be well, healthy, and happy, to have a place in the sun, and to be satisfied and fulfilled. This is instinctive and inspirational. But in the arena of the human mind, it meets with the judgments and opinions and suggestions that come from the material side of life. And then comes the quarrel or resistance. If the ideal had not come, the mind would know nothing better than its present limited state. And there would be no quarrel, therefore no sense of limitation, no misery. But since inspiration has come, announcing something better, the trouble is obvious. The mind is torn between two opposites. What one is quarrels with what one would like to be. This is the basic conflict of all human nature and experience. All other conflicts, by whatever name or description, have their source in this. Every true desire is of God. It is God coming to the individual and asking him to believe in this desire and accept it. I've called it a stranger, and indeed it is. Intend your mind hospitably toward the visitor. Begin to describe yourself in its terms as free, energetic, healthy, progressive, fulfilled, prosperous, kind, peaceful, loving, efficient, enduring. Your first attempt may be painful. All that you've previously thought will come to challenge the newcomer. And that's from Dr. Seale's book, Take Off From Within. So, you know, there is uncertainty during this process, during the process of demonstration. And that's a good thing, because uncertainty allows the creativity of the universe to move on your behalf if you yield to it. You have to know what you want, but be willing to follow the dance of manifesting it. No hard edges. No hard edges. In other words, surrender your desire to divine intelligence, to source, to the infinite self, which really does see the big picture and will bring you something better than you can imagine. That's why feeling is so important. Not having walls around it with your mind, but feeling yourself living in the best place you've ever lived in, or whatever your intention is. Have it in your feelings. As Neville would say in Reverend Ike, feeling gets the blessing. And it does, because you want it to be a part of you, not just something you're looking at, something you're, again, picturing in your mind and intending to bring to pass with your mind. Mind out of the picture. Out of the picture. The desire's given you with God, by God, excuse me. And you go, okay, I'm going to jump on board. And then you through acceptance and following is how it comes about. And it's a beautiful process. As Neville says, across a bridge of incidents, it comes to pass. It's a lovely, I love the way he says things. But by not resisting resistance, you're in flow and you will be guided. Be available and follow your intuition, but forget about figuring out how it will happen. That is not your business. That's God's business. And this uncertainty is very productive because it's how we build our faith. And talking about faith and fear, Dr. Seale said, or wrote, when we do not give enough attention to the positive values of life, some kind of pain or discomfort will always come in order to make, some kind of pain or discomfort will always come in order to make us ask why and to inquire after wisdom. The negative presence in the mind is called the denier, because he denies or hides the positive value, which is necessary for our growth. The negative is never a power in itself. It is denial of power. That's a big deal. The negative is never a power in itself. It is a denial of power. When you feel low and inferior or sick and devitalized, it's not because some agency outside of yourself has robbed you of your life. Rather, regard your lowliness as subnormal realization and a minimum usage of your own inherent powers. The God power is mind and consciousness, not forms and expressions. And what you thought were two quarreling opposites in your consciousness, faith and fear, were really only two phases of consciousness, both signifying the same thing. Your fear is the darkness which hides the angel of your healing and promotion and energizes you to seek that angel. That's an incredible thing to ponder. To overcome resistance, he wrote, is to meet every fear boldly and courageously. See it and understand it for what it is, and do not give way to fearing fear itself. And to acknowledge the hope in your heart as divine and pregnant with immediate possibilities of good. Oh, wow. You can meditate on that for days. And that's from 10 Words That Will Change Your Life, the book that he wrote about the 10 Commandments. When you look at resistance as opportunity, you're in the power seat because you're looking at it from the position of the neutral observer, meaning you're not affected by emotion. Neutrality is power. You can ask, what's the belief I'm holding that's creating these obstacles? And if you're neutral, you can be in the place to receive the answer and do something to change the belief or let it go altogether. And that's so much more powerful than every time I want something good, the universe smacks me down. Yeah, resistance is a fact of life and not just spiritual life. We are works in progress and we will be as long as we are here. So if we accept that, that's a big step forward. As long as we're in bodies, we will encounter resistance. And actually, we should be glad when it shows up because it lets us know that we're on track and moving ahead. There is no power external to us. And now in the last few minutes, I want to share some jewels from Florence Scovel Shinn to empower us in the demonstration process. First off, nothing on earth can resist an absolutely non-resistant person. These are all from The Game of Life and How to Play It. And then she talks about the divine idea. She says, we are a perfect idea in the mind of God, in divine mind. We are a perfect idea in the mind of God. The divine idea of your life often flashes across your consciousness as something too good to be true. Very few people fulfill their destinies. Destiny means the place you were destined to fill. We are fully equipped for the divine plan of our lives. We are more than equal to every situation. Demonstration. She writes, there's nothing too great of accomplishment for the man who knows the power of his word and who follows his intuitive leads. By the word, he starts in action unforeseen forces and can rebuild his body or remold his affairs. He knows that God is his supply and that there is a supply for every demand and that his spoken word releases this supply. Ask and ye shall receive. Man must make the first move. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. I've often been asked just how to make a demonstration. And I reply, speak the word, and then do not do anything until you get a definite lead or intuitive hit. Demand the lead, saying, Infinite Spirit, reveal to me the way. Let me know if there's anything for me to do. The answer will come through intuition or a hunch, a chance remark from someone, or a passage in a book, etc., etc. But in nothing be anxious. My ship comes in on calm seas. And then seaweed. I love this. She wrote, the student must remember also not to despise the day of small things. Invariably, before a demonstration, come signs of land, quote unquote, signs of land. Before Columbus reached America, he saw birds and twigs, which showed him land was near. So it is with the demonstration. But often the student mistakes it for the demonstration itself and is disappointed. A woman wanted dishes and got a cracked plate. The plate was only signs of land. It shows your dishes are coming. Look upon it as birds and seaweed. And not long afterwards, the dishes came. And loving and giving, love and giving. She wrote, follow the path of love and all things are added. For God is love and God is supply. Money is God in manifestation as freedom from want and limitation. But it must always be kept in circulation and kept to right uses. Hoarding and saving react with grim vengeance. Letting it go out fearlessly and cheerfully opens the way for more to come in. For God is man's unfailing and inexhaustible supply. This is a spiritual attitude towards money, and the great bank of the universal never fails. Love is God in manifestation and the strongest magnetic force in the universe. Divine ideas never conflict. Face the situation fearlessly, and there is no situation to face. Falls away of its own weight. And finally, the game of life is won by fierce faith, love, and non-resistance. And on that note, you've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. I wish you a very, very blessed week. And please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Goodbye, everyone.